Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. To the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy brought me. There, the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. In the cross, be my glory ever. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. To read again today from Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, and exhort, and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Also reading verses 1 and 2 from chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Let's give thanks for those words, that perfect instruction from God through the pen of Paul, and pray that we will be able to do this, to be hearers and doers of the word. Our Father, again we give thanks, first of all, for giving Christ. We give thanks that he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from sin, from death, from hell, and also to redeem us from all iniquity, to purify unto himself and to thyself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Father, we have all of these blessings given, all of these blessings described, all of these blessings promised through Christ. We think of the word to the church at Corinth, that all thy promises are yea and amen in Christ. We give thanks also that we can come now, praying in his name for the Holy Spirit that directed Paul to write this, that also led all of the church in ages past to do these things, and to revive us in our time, that we might again be a peculiar people, that we might be zealous unto good works, that we might be that in our nation, in this United States of America, and that all others in every nation, wherever they are, that the church may be a light, a witness, a salt. We pray, Father, for reviving to be given, that then through the church there might also be awakening in every nation being called to repentance, called to faith, called to love, to do what we were created for. We pray, Father, for all these things through Christ and for thy glory. We pray also for the other needs that many have been given, and many are in need of having them to be given, those that are suffering in hunger, war, homeless, those in older age, those in sickness and pain. We pray, Father, for thy mercy, for thy grace, and also that through these afflictions, many might learn the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and the need to glorify thee in all things, even now. It is in his name, the name of Christ Jesus, that we give thanks. Amen. As we look at these words again, it is not only teaching, but as well enabling. Certainly the word does teach us that grace of God that comes through teaching hath appeared to all men. Paul could say to the church at Colossae that he had preached the gospel to all of the world. We do not know how that all took place, but we do know also that he was accused of turning the world upside down. Even Christ was described as the whole world going after him. Sometimes these descriptions are given, meaning the world in general, or many, but not always every creature. But the command is there by Christ to preach the gospel to every creature. First of all, that it might be believed. Believed to the saving of our souls. But also, as we can read further in the third chapter, where Paul writes in verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. He writing to Titus, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Certainly, the necessity is there. The urgent need is there to preach the gospel to every creature. But the urgent need is also to constantly affirm, or to affirm constantly, as Paul says it, that they which have believed will be careful to maintain good works. That means the church that is preaching the gospel to others, that it will itself maintain good works. I'm fearful that the church, often as Israel of old, trust in its works, trust in its own works, and oft times in the oldness of the letter. And then it tells others what to do and what they may not do. It tries to tell the government to pass laws for this, for that, and for other things. Sometimes we could describe that as a national religion. And there has been much of that through history. Already the building of the Tower of Babel. They wanted to build a tower that would reach to heaven. And God dispersed them. Oft times in the history of Israel, they wanted a king like other nations to rule over them, to be a nation that could be somebody even above others. And much of the message of Christ was understood that he would come reigning and sitting on the throne of David, that he would rule the nation of Israel, that he would deliver them from their outward enemies. That was there amongst many in the time when Christ was here, even amongst his disciples, his followers. And I fear that the Jews, Israel, is looking for that today. They did not look for a suffering Savior. They did not look for one to pay for sin. They did not look for one to redeem them from their iniquity. Then to be a people to deliver a Savior, to deliver them in their hearts, from their evil hearts, from their thinking, their speaking, their doing. That is what we must have, and that is what the gospel does do. It's good news in many ways, but it is especially, as Paul said here, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Evidently, even the disciples were thinking that. They wanted to sit at the right hand and the left hand of Christ when he came into his kingdom, expecting that that kingdom would be here on earth. And even after he was crucified, they asked, "Wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" That is often in men's minds. And I'm afraid it's there even in establishing churches. We want to establish a church. We want to be so many. We want to be so big. We want to have so much. And then we want to rule over other people. Yes, sadly, the church has wanted to rule through the ages, and it has sought to rule oft times by the sword. This took place before the Reformation. It took place during the Reformation. It took place after the Reformation. It took place in both the Catholic and the Protestant Church. Today, many have thought, if we have this or that president, then we will have better things for the nation. And that might be true in a limited sense in certain areas, but it certainly will not be true in bringing a nation to righteousness. As I have said in times past, are there any of our presidents that have brought healing in our homes? One of our great sins, one of our iniquities, that husband does not love wife, and wife does not love husband, that they do not obey God together in what he has said concerning marriage and giving us homes that will then bring up the children in the fear and the nurture of God. This is one of our great problems, and it has affected many areas. It affects the learning in the school. And if it affects the learning in the school, it'll affect also how these young people grow up into society, into the workplace, into being in government, other areas. All of it is corrupted. All of it is part of what is the way of the flesh. We think of Paul writing to the church at Galatia when he described these good works that ought to be done. What are they? They are the fruits of the Spirit. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we say that we are by the Spirit living in faith, which we must, and as Paul said, telling them that have believed in God. That is our beginning. Our beginning in a right relationship with God is all through believing, all through faith. As long as we're in unbelief, we're separate from God. In faith, we can become God's children. In faith, we can have that place. As Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the faith of the Son of God. It's the faith as well in the Son of God. And it's faith as well in God who gave his Son. It's faith in the Word. It's faith in the work of the Holy Spirit. All of that is believed. All of that is understood as needed desperately. And today we need much more of it. Yes, it has appeared. It has appeared in the Word. We have the same Word, the very same Word today. We have the Word written here by Paul. God used Paul as well to preach. Paul preached to the Thessalonians. Listen to what he wrote to them later. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He knew they were chosen of God. And out of that choosing, they would be born again by the Spirit of God. They would become children of God by faith. But how did Paul know? How did he know that that had happened truly? That they had rightly believed to the saving of their soul? Listen again. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. God sees it. It's true, as we have been reading oft times from 2 Corinthians, that God shows himself, that we see God in the face of Jesus Christ, in the way that the Scripture described Christ, that we know the gospel of Christ, that we know him as born, living, dying, being crucified. All that we can picture in our mind. Not perfectly, not fully, but enough to believe it took place. And then rose again and went back to heaven. And he is coming again. That's what we also read. Listen to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If we actually believe that as we should, we will be preparing for it, and we will want others to be prepared. And if we know it rightly from the Scripture, we will know that we did not get prepared by the law. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things in the law to do them. And if we know that, then we just want the government to make certain laws so this person cannot do that and so that person cannot do that. It is true they are sadly needed, They are needed for a restraint. They are needed to show us what sin is, to set a boundary. But we do not gain righteousness by the law. Again, those words of Paul written to the church at Rome, by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's as far as it can really go. Give us a knowledge of sin, but it cannot either deliver us or others from sin. If we only tell people, don't do that, you may not do that. We leave them in a void. We leave them in an emptiness. And often we make them angry. And we often misrepresent the Word of God. We misrepresent it by letting them think, well, you think you do that. You think you did it. You think you're righteous because you don't do what I do. It creates a controversy. Yes, the gospel itself will do that too. They hated Christ because of his perfect teaching. They hated Christ for his gospel as well as his teaching. But then the fault lies with those who hate the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Hate him who is the way, the truth, and the life. But if we come only thinking we are righteous by the law, and others also ought to be made righteous by the law, that is not what Paul is here teaching. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we, you and I, the church, should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That was making an impact in Thessalonica. That was making an impact in other places. That and that alone is the right way for the church. First of all, to know we're guilty. That's the beginning of any church, any Christian, anyone in the church. Beginning to know our guilt that we might be forgiven. Knowing that Christ had to die for our sins. But nobody will learn that alone. Paul didn't. He knew it to be true. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He said, by which you are saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from hell. But we need more than that to be saved from the power of our sin. We need a resurrected Savior. We need to do as Paul cried out, not just in the beginning, seeking the Lord, but through his life, that I may know him, Christ, and the power of his resurrection. It is taught, but if it is ever to take place, it will be because of the power of Christ. The Lord Jesus, who said just before he died to his apostles, recorded in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He said, without me, you can do nothing. He also said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you will bring forth much fruit. That was before he died, but now he's living. He's living as well as when he said that. And he's speaking of it as a living Savior. He's speaking of it as one who can rightly be described as Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. The one who said, I give my life for the sheep. The one who said at the same time, I have power to lay down my life and power to take it up again. That is the eternal Savior. Understand it? No. Believe it? Yes. He is the eternal God with the Father. And as we read here, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing, one day he's going to come again. He's going to come after it's fulfilled what he said must be done. The gospel must be preached to all nations. But it must not only be preached, it must be lived. By their fruits, the Lord Jesus said, you shall know them. Yes, by their fruits. Some time ago, we considered the parable of the sower. The seed fell on different kinds of soil. And there was one that was the good ground which brought forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. That was sown in a good and honest heart. Much had to take place along with the sowing of the word. That sinner would have to be born again. That sinner would have to be taught of the Spirit. That sinner would have to know his guilt before the law. And that sinner would have to know his need of Christ. All of that would be there, and all of that is in the whole counsel of God, the whole Word of God. And if we all believed the Word of God as we might sometimes think we do and say we do, oh, I believe the Word. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. If we all did, you know how many churches there would be? Just one. If everybody did that together, there could not be divisions. There could not be divisions over this doctrine, that doctrine, the next doctrine, another doctrine. And there could not be the rusting of Scripture, of some things in Scripture. And there could not be the overemphasis of other things, because all of the Word is perfect. Perfect in believe, telling us to believe it. Perfect in telling us to do it. In believing it, we know we don't do it as we should. We still have to say, like Paul, I am a sinner. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But Paul struggled not only to believe that blessed gospel, but to be a practicer of it, to be a teacher of it, to bring that message to Titus, and in turn, through Titus, to all of us. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. This word is your and my authority. It's the authority from the Creator of heaven and earth. It's the authority from the one in whom you and I live and move and have our being. And the one that you and I are going to be called into account, either when we die or when Christ comes again. Whatever is first. Are you ready?
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise